Badges. We don't need no badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
To Snake Abbey on GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. Your guests, Bob and the Professor of Movies, J.R. Jeff Reinhardt. Enjoy. Welcome to Snake Alley on GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. You just heard Man or Astroman with Interstellar Hard Drive live at the Maida Vale BBC Studios on November 1st, 2000. Before that, we heard our theme song for this pilot episode, The Minutemen with Badges, live at the Stone in San Francisco, California, back on March 1st, 1985. Let's get things rolling. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Bob. Good afternoon.
All right. You don't have to yell too loud. Today's show, we're going to be looking at some movies that are available for free download, and these are public domain movies. They're all old ones, and they're definitely B-movies, and they're available free on archive.org. And they're for free download, so you need, I'll give you instructions later how to download them and how you can watch them on your computer or on your DVD player.
One thing I would like to interject, and that is, folks, if you really want to see some B to Z grade movies, dig out the old PRC or Monogram horror films that were made in the 30s and 40s. Like I said, Karloff agreed that he would work in Monogram Pictures, but he wouldn't do PRC. Bela, God bless old Bela Lugosi, he'd take anything he could get. PRC, Monogram, Dead End Studios, and don't forget the famous studio of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, American International Pictures that we'll be dealing with a little bit today.
So that's where the terror is part of.
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
The terror.
Okay, well, I'm going to have another beer, and we'll both have another beer, and then we'll just listen to another tune real quick. Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs. Yes, he did. That was the Minutemen. Again, from that 1985 show at the Stone.
Your blood will turn white. Your face will turn green. Your eyeballs will pop with pressure. Because our Tuesday show is the living end. Forward your strength. Take a shot. You're going to need an awful lot. When you see our shocker pictures, so terrifying that it is easier to die than to live. Come if you must, but make your wills. Say your goodbyes, for soon you may be up in the skies. Doomsday is coming.
You mentioned The Terror. That has Boris Karloff and a young Jack Nicholson in it, and about five other actors. There's not much more people in the movie. And why don't you go ahead, Jeff, and tell us about that flick.
Yeah, actually, we were talking about The Terror, made by American International in 1963. What is interesting about this horror film that was spearheaded by Roger Corman at American International for Samuel Z. Arkoff, and by the way, Jack Nicholson's father. He was also the co-president, James H. Nicholson. But anyway, back to the story. As it happens, Boris Karloff had just rounded out a few weeks earlier his role in The Raven. He was under contract for three pictures. One thing, though, Roger Corman found out that Karloff had 3 days left in his contract with American International. So Roger brainstormed overnight and came up with a screenplay for a horror film called The Terror.
Now that would be, see, he has, what, how many days with Karloff?
He had 3 days of open contract to use Karloff.
Well, that's a movie for Corman.
That's a movie for Corman. And the thing was, not just about the deadline that Boris had to go through, but they shot the whole movie in 5 days. Everything was going fine until Roger Corman was in the editing room and discovered something.
What was that?
The movie didn't make any goddamn sense.
Thought that.
Anyway, what happened was, Corman got an idea. He pulled together Jack Nicholson, who played the romantic lead in The Terror, and a supporting actor from the Corman brood by the name of Dick Miller. Mr. Miller, I believe, is still alive. But anyway, what Corman did was, see, all the sets had been torn down 2 days earlier that they used in The Terror. So what Carmen did was he pulled together, like I said, Jack Nicholson and Dick Miller in a close-up against a velvet black background. In the mere 3 minutes, Dick Miller explained the plot of the movie to Jack Nicholson, and that's history.
So they used a lot of the same sets that were left over from
The
Raven.
Oh, they used stock shots from The Raven, the castle sequence with the storming, and also the sets and everything.
Will you join me, Lieutenant?
No, thank you, Baron. I've just come from the stables. My horse is gone.
Your horse is gone?
Yes, I believe it was stolen, Baron.
Oh, impossible, Dick. The stable door perhaps was left open and the animal bolted. Not an unusual thing.
In itself, no. But there are certain other mysteries I would like to have explained, Baron, and I mean to have them explained.
How dare you take that tone with me?
I don't mean to be abrupt, but I will have answers.
Well?
Now, why did you remove the portrait of the Baroness from the wall?
I sent it away for renovation. The dampness of these walls puts a mold on the pigment.
You evade very cleverly, Baron. Can you also explain the violin music and the girl in the chapel last night?
You saw her again.
So you admit there's a girl?
Ilsa.
Ilsa, is that her name? Answer me, Baron.
Please, please, leave me in peace.
If I leave you now, Baron, I will come back with a company of my men and I will tear this place down around your ears until I find her. Is that clear?
Very clear.
All right, now, what happened to the Baroness? Was her death violent?
Yes, her death was violent.
How did she die?
You spare me nothing. 20 years ago, I was not the man you're looking at now. This land, this estate prospered. My people lived well and were happy. My wife had died some years before, and I was lonely. And one day, in the village, I saw Ilsa. A peasant girl who'd come to live there with her mother. Oh, I could have taken her. These nobles have taken the daughters of peasants since the beginning of time, but I loved her. And she became the Baroness von Lett.
Okay, that's about as much that I can take. Doesn't look like Boris Karloff was really into it too much, and Jack still wasn't really a good actor yet. But,
yeah, that's true. That's true, because Boris was quite sick from working on Black Sabbath, Italian-American production produced by AIP in 1963. It was actually directed by the great Italian horror film director Mario Bava. And while Karloff was over in Italy making the movie, he contracted double pneumonia and almost died. That's why his scenes are so limited in The Terror, because it took him like 2 years to recover. But he never really got over it. There was like a squeak in his lung after that. And like I had told before in another interview, as far as Jack Nicholson goes, this is like my colleague has just said, he was not the greatest actor yet.
No, not at all.
As a matter of fact, Rex Reed, the film columnist, said Nicholson looked like he got mugged on the way to the studio.
Well, that great feature film, The Terror, starring Boris Karloff and Jack Nicholson, directed by Roger Corman, can be found at archive.org. Archive.org is a internet repository, library, that is available. All things public domain are up there. Plenty of feature films. Just navigate to archive.org, navigate yourself into the moving pictures area, and there's instructions on what to do with the files and what kind of files to download, depending on how you want to watch them. Now, we're going to move to another one that's up there in archive.org. One of my favorites, one of my favorite actors, Bela Lugosi and White Zombie. Let's go ahead and just listen to a little bit of it.
Zombies? Yes. They are my servants. Did you think we could do it alone? In their lifetime, they were my enemies. Leco, the witch doctor. Once my master. Secrets I tortured out of him. Bangerda, the swine, swollen with riches. He fought against my spells until the last. Him, yes, I have trouble, hype. His Excellency Richard, once Minister of the Interior. Garcia, Brigand Chief. Marquis, Captain of Gendarmerie. And this is Chauvin, the High Executioner, who almost executed me. I took them, just as we will take this one. But what if they regain their souls? They would tear me to pieces. And that, my friend, shall never be.
Okay, that was Bela Lugosi, or Bela Lugosi, and White Zombie. A little clip there from White Zombie. 1932 by the Halperin brothers, producer and director Edward and Victor. Tell me something about these guys and or something about Bela Lugosi. Or
actually, with Mr. Lugosi, when Bela was cast in the Broadway adaptation of Dracula in 1927, he did not speak English. He learned his role, as he did in his early films, phonetically. That's why a lot of the lines he delivered in the talkie version, 1931 Todd Browning's Dracula, the dialogue that Lugosi spoke almost had a sing-song quality. For example, "Listen to them, the children of the night. What music they make."
So he made this flick right after Dracula? Or
right
before?
Actually, right after.
It's the same year, right?
32.
So Dracula came out in 31.
That is correct.
So this really isn't a B movie.
Actually,
it's probably one of his best performances, I
actually
think.
Actually, the matte paintings alone are worth viewing the movie because they're very meticulously done, the castle on the cliffs and everything.
Yeah, I noticed it's dramatically done. Now, supposedly, when I was I looked it up on the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, that this movie had fallen, in and out of the courts for a while.
Oh, yeah.
It began before, while it was a play. That the author was suing the Halperin brothers. So, like Dracula, it started out with a play, I guess. It's really good. It was shot in Haiti, I believe. It does take place in Haiti anyway, the story does.
It was shot in both Hollywood and Haiti.
Okay. It's a really good flick. Comes down to, Dracula.
This is also one of the earlier Lugosi films that features his hypnotic eyes. That's what they first expounded on when Todd Browning directed Lugosi in the role Dracula in film.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, except he has a cool goatee.
Oh, yeah.
In this one. And a few more speaking lines, I think.
He seems like he's having a good time.
Yeah, good. It's very good. He's pretty sinister. I don't know if he thinks he's a voodoo priest, but it seems like he works all of his magic with drugs.
Yes.
And it's pretty good. It's high quality. It's not that beat.
And actually, the climax for a movie made back in 1932, back then, if you do have a chance to see the movie, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but this was considered very risque back in 1932.
Okay. Yeah, there is a scene that was deleted.
Yes.
Where the maids are attending to the bride who has been drugged by the murderer, Legrande, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all French people in Haiti,
right,
here.
Right.
And so, yeah, she, there is a couple faux pas in there, and there's, like, she's in her underwear while the maids are preparing her. And that was cut out, but it's not cut out in this version. It
no.
seems to be okay. The audio is real bad. It's one of those RCA radiograph recordings.
And I just wanted to touch upon that this film had been legally lost for over 35 years.
Yeah.
It was found with, I believe, one of the prints was found by a private collector in Russia.
Wow. Yeah, because I was wondering about that. So it surfaced like in the 60s.
Yes.
Well, it's pretty good. Again, it's something you can download off archive.org. And we're going to take a little break from the movies and listen to a little of The Ream. We're going to listen to Ape Hangers.
Hangers!
Okay, you just heard The Ream with Ape Hangers and Shriekers Unleashed from Sooner or Later You're Gonna Get The Ream cassette only release from about 1990, I think. So, Jeff, have you been to the movies lately?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I went and saw Batman Begins and also War of the Wads.
War of the Wads. I take that. That's that piece of work with Tom Cruise in it. One of my favorites.
Tom Cruise? Yes. He's going through midlife crisis.
Okay. Quickly tell me what you think about this flick.
Actually, I thought that, as usual, Mr. Spielberg, or as I affectionately call him, Spiel Schmuck, cannot direct a film unless he has five assistant directors.
But he still directed this movie, you say?
I wouldn't let him direct Traffic.
So that's all you gotta say?
No. It's like the direction, what there was of it, was very pedestrian. And he telegraphed all the action. If it hadn't have been for Dennis Muren's visual effects that actually were done by Industrial Light and Magic, the whole thing would have been an insult to George Pal.
So you actually like computer-generated entertainment, or, I mean, you might as well just sit home and watch, play a video game or something.
Like I said, the original version that was made by George Pal back in the early 50s with Gene Barry and Les Tremaine, it's a classic. What this new movie is going to be in the future, what it's called, is an abomination.
And to think that he's going to work on the Transformers.
That's right. What does that tell you?
Well, I'm not... I don't know. I guess he's grasping for... there's a lot of stories out there.
He'll probably go from five assistant directors to six or seven assistant directors.
So, you have anything good to say about it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I want to at least tell you that there are redeeming qualities with Mr. Spielberg's past films. I did enjoy Jaws, and I did enjoy Close Encounters. But this recent lambasting of the H.G. Wells novel I don't know if he knew what market he was projecting for as far as age goes.
Well, that just goes to show you, I guess he never did deserve an Oscar.
Well, he's part of the chosen people, so I would imagine he's going to get one way or the other.
I've never really liked any of his flicks. He's had so many stinkers, 1941.
Now, the thing is, I've viewed 1941 seven or eight, 10 times, and I enjoy it more each time I see it.
Yeah, it's got some good characters.
Yeah, it's like a very good cast. Plus, the running joke with the dummy was very good.
And I guess we're going to go ahead and say goodbye to everybody with a little bit of Bloody Ebsen. Honk if you're horny.
Honk if you're horny. Give me a smile, and I'll visualize you the next 100 miles. Question authority is what you should do. Maybe slow, but I'm ahead of you. My other car is a piece of shit too. I'd rather be fishing, hauling this boat. And if you don't like my driving, off the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. you're horny. Drive right on past. Unless you're a hemorrhoid, get off my ass. Question reality. It's not what it seems. Honk if you're horny. I heart my dog, save the whale. Don't get too close, I break for yard sales. And don't mess with Texas, let freedom ring. All shit happens. Long live the king. Honk if you're horny.
Okay, that was Bloody Ebsen from Bloody Ebsen's Greatest Hits, Honk If You're Horny, on Snake Alley, GaragePunk.com, Pirate Radio. See you next time!